Next on 9 to Noon, we're going to talk menopause, and specialists are wanting Pharmac to fund alternative treatments as a worldwide shortage of a popular hormone replacement therapy worsens. Global supply of one of the most popular estrogen patches, called Estradot, has virtually stopped, and many women have been switched to an alternative. There are supply issues even with the alternative patches. Now, some women who've had to make the switch to the replacement patches also report problems with them, including allergies. Dr. Megan Ogilvy, an endocrinologist at Fertility Associates, says women who are on HRT rely on the medication, and the shortage and changes are stress-inducing. She says Pharmac could make simple changes to prescription rules to ease the situation, but the government's drug buying agency should also be looking to fund alternatives such as estrogen gels. Now, Dr. Linda Deer from Menodoctor agrees. She started a petition on the issue, which has gathered 5,000 signatures. Now, Megan Ogilvy and Linda Deer are with me now. Also, we'll talk shortly with Pharmac's acting director, Pharmaceuticals, Geraldine McGibbon. But firstly, kia ora, Megan and Linda. How are you going?
Kia ora.
Very well, thank you.
Oh, good. If I can start with you, Dr. Ogilvy, just give us an outline of what sorts of situations people are in, and how does estrogen, having this Estradot patch, how does it affect their daily life?
I think it's really important that we consider this, and thank you for asking this question. I see women every day in my practice who are very reliant on this medication. It's extremely effective to manage symptoms of estrogen deficiency. It really helps women be productive in the workspace and in their family space. The other big group of people that will be affected by this condition, by this shortage, is trans women. These women use the Estradot patch because it's much safer for them in terms of clot risk than the tablets. So we have a real sector of the community that is being significantly affected. I have many women that would not be able to turn up to work if they lost the availability of estrogen.
So it's pretty serious. It's pretty significant when you're talking at that sort of level. What kinds of symptoms would people begin to exhibit if they weren't able to use Estradot, the estrogen patch?
So the women who are struggling with estrogen deficiency generally present with sleep change, flushes, sweats. Often menopausal depression is an increasing symptom that we're recognising, joint pain, fatigue, loss of cognitive focus. All of those things really affect work productivity and affect family life.
How long has this shortage been an issue?
Well, it's been going on for about 3 to 4 years, but in my memory, there's been 2 times that it seems to be pretty significant, and this seems to be one of the worst.
Why is it that it's biting so hard now?
I suspect that there's many reasons for that. Firstly, there's been a real international demand. This is a global issue. This isn't a New Zealand issue. There is a shortage around the world, and the increasing demand as we've really started to understand the superiority of the transdermal product has been part of the shortage. Novartis manufactures Estradot, and there are clearly issues. Novartis says on their website that they have capacity constraints with the manufacturing plant. Nobody's been more specific than that, as far as I'm aware.
You are listening to Noon, listening to 9 to Noon on RNZ National. 2101 to get your story in on this. I'd be keen to know what the situation is for women around the country. Also 9 to Noon at rnz.co.nz to flick us an email. What other options do women have if they're not able to get their hands on Estradot?
So there is oral estrogen, and for a percentage of the women who are dependent on estrogen, that is a very reasonable option. But it has a slightly higher risk of clot in the legs and the lungs, a slightly higher vascular risk, and for women who get migraines, it can flare the migraines rather than settle the migraines. So the transdermal approach is generally recognized as gold standard and preferred. And for many of those women, it probably doesn't matter whether it's a gel or a patch.
Are there other patches available?
Yes, there are other patches available. We had a Mylan patch earlier in the pandemic that had problems with adhesion and allergy. The estradiol patch that is currently becoming increasingly available, many women find this works reasonably well. Others are talking to me about it really not adhering and giving them irregular estrogen levels.
Is there anything else that that could be available, perhaps, for women who would find a particular problem with taking the tablet? Women, for example, who do get migraines?
Yes, I think there's a few things. There's some short-term things that Pharmac could do here and some longer-term things, which doesn't absolutely answer your question about what else would be available. In terms of what else would be available for women with migraines, standard migraine prophylaxis could be used. Shall we talk about the short-term things that
Yeah,
could be
I was going to say, isn't there an estrogen gel, but there's an issue with that?
Did I precede your question? No, there is absolutely estrogen gels available. There's typically two types, Sandrina and Estragel, widely available in Australia, the US, the UK, would be a very viable alternative for us. Not funded in New Zealand at the moment.
But not funded. Okay. Dr. Linda Deer, if we can bring you in from Menno Doctor in Auckland. Kia ora, thank you for being with us. The picture for you, are you seeing the same sorts of things in your practice?
Yeah, so very similar to what Megan has said, you know, and it makes women feel so anxious when they can't suddenly get the same patches that they've been used to. Because there is a difference with different brands. Some brands do seem to work better than others. And a lot of women do get allergies from some of these alternative brands that are now there. And you know, it's quite frightening for these women when they are so reliant on it, if they're told that the patches are suddenly not available or it's suddenly a different box that they're given and they're just not sticking on their skin, or they're giving their skin an allergic reaction, or they are feeling all these horrible symptoms, you know, suddenly coming back again.
Yeah, extremely debilitating to have to deal with these sorts of symptoms. And I can understand the very real anxiety that people will be facing if they're not able to get their estrogen patches from the pharmacist. This must be a real headache for the pharmacies too.
I think it is. You know, they're getting lots of phone calls. They're getting lots of anxiety coming their way as well. And their hands are a bit tied. So it is affecting lots of different people in lots of different sectors. But it just shouldn't be this hard to get HRT, to get gold standard HRT. Mm. And yes, patches are better than pills, as Megan said, from a clot point of view, being the main advantage. But gels are just as good as patches. And actually, in a lot of other countries, women use them more than patches. So this is not some sort of weird brand new thing we're talking about. It just needs to come to New Zealand. They need to be licensed here and preferably funded here, especially for women who have allergic reactions to patches. And it is unsafe for them to be switched to pills, because those women are really left with no option then. Mm. And can't get the HRT at all and face the prospect of going back to the awful symptoms they had before.
So what more should Pharmac be doing here? Should there be some kind of fast tracking, for example, of these gels which are already available over the ditch in Australia?
Yeah. So that would be ideal. I mean, these processes are always really slow. The body identical progesterone Utrogestan that was finally funded in December last year, that had taken a total of about a decade from when doctors and pharmaceutical companies first started to ask for it to be funded here. So we don't want another decade. You know, if we can speed things up, that would be great. But yeah, there are sort of shorter term things maybe that could be done. I know we have this thing that we can do, a special authority, it's called, where doctors can prescribe other options, sort of a bit of a quicker way, certainly maybe for women who are allergic to patches and it's unsafe for them to take pills. We could do what's called a special authority perhaps, and that means they can get access, funded access to gel instead. But certainly step one also is just to license these products, because they're not on the formulary for your average doctor to even know it exists. So things that are not licensed don't come up on the New Zealand formulary. So most GPs will not realise it exists. And it's then seen as an unlicensed medication, which sounds dodgy, but it's not. You know, there's lots of things that are unlicensed here, but they're widely licensed in other countries and perfectly safe and effective. So getting them licensed, the gels, would be step one. And then step two shortly after is funding, especially for women who cannot be switched to pills.
Do you have a sense of how many women are in this situation where they won't be able to make that switch to pills because of the blood clot or the migraine situation that they're in?
Yeah, I think it's hard to put exact numbers on it, but it won't be a insignificant number of women. You know, it'll be quite a lot of women who are faced with no option if they can't find a patch that works for them, or if they just can't find any patches, which has been the case at certain times. So they're really left in this hole then, this kind of frightening dark spot where that treatment they've been relying on is suddenly gone. And the whole point of this is to stabilize hormone levels. You know, that's the whole point. It's the fluctuations that nature throws our way that makes us feel so out of control. So women need this steady supply. You know, that's kind of the whole point. The other nice thing about gels is it's a daily application. So you use it every day, whereas patches are twice a week, which in itself can be a little bit harder for women to remember. And doesn't always give you that precise dosing, because often it's kind of 4 days and then 3 days when women are changing them. So gels have a lot of other advantages, and a lot of women prefer them because it's more familiar to rub on something like a lotion every day, like we do with our moisturizers and all the other ablutions, rather than a little sticker on our belly twice a week. So
indeed,
yeah, but gels are a good thing.
Just stay with us. I think we're getting an awful lot of feedback coming into us at 9 to noon about this one. That is Linda Deer, and also we're speaking with Megan Ogilvie. We can bring in Pharmax Acting Director at Pharmaceuticals, Jerry McGibbon now. Kia ora, thank you for being with us.
Oh, morena, Susie.
The situation here, why has it got so bad?
Well, I think it's actually a great news story. There's been a global increase in awareness of these treatments for these debilitating symptoms. I'm sure we all know people who have been suffering from these symptoms, whether they've been talking about it publicly or not. And that's a great news story, but it's come at a cost. The cost is the supply constraints that the doctors have mentioned.
Yeah, and what's causing those?
Well, it's just simply a large increase in people coming forward for treatment of the symptoms, and the supply just can't keep up with the demand.
But this has been going for some years now.
That's true. So what normally you would see happen is there'd be an increase in demand, and after a while it would tail off, and that simply hasn't happened. It's been increasing year on year at an astronomical rate, which has put massive constraints on the supply system.
So why in that case are there so few alternatives here?
Are you talking about the gels?
Yeah.
Well, the gels aren't, as the doctors mentioned, licensed for use in New Zealand.
Yes, but why not?
That's a decision for the pharmaceutical company to make. So that's not stopping us looking at them.
No, I was going to say from Pharmax perspective, though, is this something that you're actively looking at potentially to get to market here quickly?
We are absolutely looking at every single possible option that we can to get treatment to people so they can get relief from these debilitating symptoms. We're bringing in more stock weekly. We've funded two other patches. There are the oral options. We know they're not for everybody. Mm. So, yes, we have, we've heard what people have been saying, and we've started looking at the gels. And, Dr. Deer mentioned special authority. It's a targeting mechanism. That's definitely something we could be looking at. But more to the point, we need to take our clinical advice. We need to go through our process to make sure that we get it right.
Yep. Absolutely. And no one would be wanting something that was questionable being used because there isn't anything else. But I guess there's two things here. One is, like you say, it's the pharmaceutical company. Why are they not coming forward to have their product licensed here?
I actually don't know the answer to that question. But we are talking with them and certainly encouraging that to occur.
Is it because the medicine wouldn't be funded and so they know that they wouldn't get very much uptake?
I don't think that's the answer. I think that they just haven't come here yet.
Okay. Have you asked them why?
I personally haven't talked to the suppliers, but basically we are considering these options for funding, and we will be talking to the suppliers and to MedSafe, the regulator, to facilitate that process to happen smoothly.
Because presumably if the pharmaceutical company knew that the medicines were going to be funded, so there would be a larger uptake of them,
that's
it would perhaps
an incentive.
Be yep. an incentive for yep. them to apply in the first place, because if the medicine's not going to be funded, what's the point in applying? Because you're only going to get very few prescriptions through the doors?
Well, I think many pharmaceutical companies bring their product to market in New Zealand and have a market regardless of whether or not the treatment is funded, and suppliers are very motivated to get their products through our funding process, and getting registered as a key part of that process.
So how quickly could this be sorted out? Because, you know, twice weekly you change your estradiol patch. If it runs out, for probably a reasonable chunk of women, they're not going to have another option.
Well, that's what we're trying to avoid by funding other patches, bringing more stock into the country all the time, helping the suppliers get their product into the country. We have the product on allocation across the country, which means that we're making sure it's distributed equitably. Pharmacies are getting small amounts that they can dispense more regularly, so that everybody who needs the patch will get access to the patch. It's just that they may have to come back to their pharmacy more often. They may have to ring around other pharmacies. And we know that is not what we want them to be doing. But as we move through this shortage, that's a good way of managing it.
But wouldn't a better way of managing it be to get the gels into the hands of the women who need it?
So we are going through that process now of taking our advice on the gels.
But how long does that take?
Well, we're just working through the process now. We're in the process of getting the advice.
But are we talking days, weeks, months, years?
We're hoping to resolve this problem as fast as possible.
But what does that mean for women who will undoubtedly be anxious and will need to have some level of certainty? If we're talking about people not being able to go to work or go about their daily lives because of this, it's a major issue.
Absolutely, I agree with you. And people should be talking to their healthcare practitioner about what their various options will be while we work through this shortage.
Indeed, but are you able to give us any kind of level of certainty around this about when there may be more options available?
We are working on this as fast as we can, Susie.
Is that a no, though, ultimately? You're not able to give us any kind of certainty. You can't put any sort of time frame around this.
We are working on it as fast as we can, and we hope to have some progress soon. Within the next few weeks, I would imagine, we would have a fairly good idea of where we could go with that.
Okay, so within the next few weeks, if that's something that may be able to move, I think a lot of people will feel reassured that at least there is a level of a timeline there. Realistically, is there anything else standing in the way, or is that the only issue that you've got to get through your process and you've got to get through that timeline?
I think that's pretty accurate, yep.
Okay. So any other changes, for example, to the way that patches are funded, you know, for example, funding more than two a week to allow to cover for some of these delays that people are experiencing. Is there any way around that?
So those are some tools that we have looked at. I think what we're trying to do here is balance carefully the amount dispensed per person with needing to reserve enough so that everybody can get some. Mm. If we dispense more, then some people might miss out who would have otherwise got it.
Has Pharmac acted fast enough here? You know, this has been going on nearly 4 years that there have been issues around supply and demand. Have you dragged your feet too much?
Well, we've been listing other patches right throughout that time and assisting suppliers in getting product all throughout that time. Mm. Product is arriving all the time.
Did you drop the ball on the gels, though?
We are looking at the gels now.
Appreciate your time. Thank you very much for coming in and for talking to us about that. We've been speaking there with Pharmac's Acting Director of Pharmaceuticals, Jerry McGibbon, also with us earlier on this segment, were doctors Megan Ogilvie and Linda Deer.